And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year, with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. So as you look at this piece of furniture that was in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place. Remember, when you walk into it, on your right-hand side would be the table of showbread. Left-hand side would be the candlestick. And right directly in front of you, sitting right before the veil, would be this altar of incense. And it was to have incense burning on it perpetually. Twice it would be offered there. It would be offered in the morning and in the evening. It's interesting, the first time the word incense is used in the Bible is connected with the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 6, it says, as they're gathering the material for the tabernacle, oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense. This is the first time that the Word of God itself uses it. The word incense simply means a smoke or an odor of burning, a sacrifice. That's why you hear sometimes the Bible referring to it as a sacrifice. A sweet smoke of sacrifice or a perfume. This word is translated 57 times as incense, 3 times as perfume in this in the noun form that's there. And the word perfume is very, very interesting. 2 of the times when it's translated as perfume, it's referring to the incense burning on this altar that God is talking about. The only other time it's used in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's the only time this word is used outside of connecting with as a perfume. It's used that one time as a perfume. This incense would fumigate this entire area. Now, we think of fumigate as in it's getting rid of something bad. It literally means to treat something that's contaminated or infected with fumes or smoke. It would have done that to the entire place. It would have been impossible to miss. You're like, well, what exactly was that doing? Well, there was sin was being offered in this place out at the brazen altar, and all the things that were taking place of God was giving them a picture. We know that this incense would have filled the place. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I love what one Old Testament, actually it was a theological word book of the Old Testament, it says, Old Testament ritual was permeated with incense burning. God orders that a special golden-plated altar be placed before the veil of the innermost sanctuary. Every morning and evening, burnt offerings as well as the great offering of the annual atonement was to be accompanied by burning incense. Incense mixtures not divinely prescribed were unacceptable. Exodus chapter 30, verse 37 talks about that. We've already touched on that earlier. This holy incense was to be ignited only by coals from the altar of burnt incense. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6 talks about that particular thing, which had the sacrificial blood upon them. So one day on the Day of Atonement, not only did they offer morning and evening, but on the Day of Atonement when Aaron would bring the blood in to be offered on the mercy seat and so forth, one of the things that he would do when he would put a portion of that blood on the horns of the altar of incense. Use of strange fire was punishable by death. Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 and 2 tells us that 2 of Aaron's sons offered strange fire and God instantaneously killed them. It was a very serious thing. Incense smoke represents prayer. We'll get to the proof of that in the Word of God later. The two altars that we see here, remember the first thing you would have entered into to this outer place would have been the altar, the brazen altar where they offered all of that. I love how this is said. The two altars, both were made of wood, but covered with a different metal. The one with brass, and so named the brazen altar. The other with gold, so called the golden altar. One outside the holy place, one inside the holy place. Again, another author describing this was just powerful. He says, unutterably solemn is it to contemplate Christ at the brazen altar, there made sin for us, suffering, enduring judgment, bowing his head beneath the awful storm of God's wrath. But unspeakable blessed is it to behold him at the golden altar, risen from the grave, alive forevermore, maintaining the interest of his people before God's throne, presenting them in all his own excellency and preciousness. This is a beautiful picture of the prayer that God wants for us in this altar of incense or golden altar. I think as we study this tonight, we can see this real thought, and that is our redemption provides us the privilege of access to God. We must never neglect to enjoy it and reverence it. The brazen altar provided us the ability to go to that altar of incense and pray, spend time with God. So many times we neglect that. Let's look quickly here at a couple of things about this altar. One, we see, first off, the purpose of the offering. And the purpose of the offering clearly is prayer. In Psalms chapter 141 and verse 2, it says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and following, another angel came and stood at the altar, having the golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. So even in heaven, we can see that this connection is made with the prayers. Prayers are not possible without the sacrifice at the brazen altar. You can't get to that point without getting before the brazen altar. Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 7, we've already mentioned this, but it says, and the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So the priest would do this once a year on the Day of Atonement. He would stop at the brazen altar, do what he was supposed to do. He would go inside. He would anoint the horns. Then he would go into the Holy of Holies and there offer the blood on the seat of atonement there. The purpose of the offering was prayer. Do you spend time with God in prayer? We don't have time to work through all the questions tonight, but what are some ways you can do that? As you think about prayer, what are some ways that you can offer those prayers to God? The Bible tells us that we're to be constantly in an attitude of prayer. So the purpose of it. But number two, the position of the altar. It is before the curtain and the mercy seat. So if you can picture this room, there would be the curtain that would separate the holy place from the most holy or the Holy of Holies. And right before the curtain would be the altar of incense. It would have been impossible for the altar of incense to have burned and not to have impacted both the Holy of Holies and the holy place. Impossible. Matter of fact, biblical writers so connected the two that the book of Hebrews actually says that the altar of incense was in the Holy of Holies. That's how connected they were with this process. One author said, although the priest who ministered at this altar could not behold the mercy seat, he was to look towards it. In other words, as he offered this incense, he would have been at a small altar to give the incense. Right there would have been the curtain separating him from the Holy of Holies. And just beyond that would have been the mercy seat. There where the blood of the atonement would be applied. There where God said repeatedly, I will meet with you there. And so although the priest could not view that mercy seat, he was by faith looking to it. The author continues, he was to look towards it and present his incense in that direction. This was a special arrangement, And it was designed to teach the important lesson that though we cannot with the eye of sense see the throne of grace, we must direct our prayer to it and look to it. The position of the altar is suggestive of the grand function of prayer. It is right before this mercy seat, before the Ark of the Covenant. We must by faith pray, knowing that God hears and God will answer our prayer. What is so difficult about us not being able to see the throne room of grace? You think we're people that like to see, don't we? We like to be able to touch something. We like to be able to physically do it. But the eye of faith says we're going there, but we can't physically see it. And sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes for us to really picture where we are. Sometimes I force myself to stop and think about, do you know where you're at? You're in the throne room of God, the Creator God, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God that said, let there be light, and there was instantaneous light, light that we cannot even fathom, just in the stars alone. We see the process of the offering. There was the use of a censer. There was the use of incense itself. In Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12, it says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hand full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Aaron needed to be ready for the quick incense by always offering the daily incense. It's interesting as we study Scripture and look at all of these things. Aaron was required to carry with him at all times incense and things like that so that he could be ready quickly to offer to God this incense. We can see this, for instance, in the story in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. If you remember the story, it's the story of the Israelites complaining, and God the day before swallows up Korah and all his band, and the next day they complain again about Moses, and God says, stand back and let me destroy them. And Moses gives the instructions. Aaron immediately carries it out, and before Aaron could get into the midst of the congregation, over 14,000 people died. The terminology we use, they were dropping like flies, is not an overstatement about this case. They were literally fallen by the second. Had Aaron not been prepared to offer that, if you will, that quick prayer based upon a daily life of prayer, it'd have been a different story. Our daily and regular prayer times allows us to be ready to pray in any situation. How is your daily prayer time? Nehemiah was asked, well, for what do you make requests? And Nehemiah says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. But if you look at chapter 1, he had been praying for months about that situation so that when the situation finally presented itself, he could quickly pray, okay, Lord, it's time. I need your help, or whatever. Very brief, and presented his presentation to the king. We could think about what's more difficult, the daily prayers or the attitude of prayer that we're supposed to have all the time. And why is that the case? You know, do we just check off a list? We got this morning, we spent some time in prayer and we're done. Or is it that attitude of prayer all day long that's more difficult for us? Do we just go through life without even being conscious that God wants us to pray about things? They were to constantly be in an attitude of prayer. But there were problems of the offering, and we don't have time to, again, spend a lot of time here. But there were problems of the offering. It was doing it man's way. We have a number of incidences in the Word of God where we see this. First, we see the idea of strange fire. And in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and following, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. God specifically said that the altar of incense, the coals that were there, were to be specifically taken from the brazen altar. Now, let's think back to a few weeks ago when we talked about the brazen altar. Who lit the fire on the brazen altar? Who did? God did. God lit the fire on the brazen altar. And it was to be perpetually burning. They were always to have fire. So the brazen altar was lit by God. The coals for the altar of incense were to be taken from the brazen altar, not anywhere else. And these guys decided to try it a different way. And the Bible says God killed them instantly. It's interesting as you follow that story. Aaron was not even allowed to mourn his son's death. But I can tell you, God had the attention of the priesthood. This is not something we play with. Strange fire. But number two, we have what I would call submissive fire, or we really could say a lack of submission. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, it says, "And take every man his censer and put incense there in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron." Again, this is a reference to those men who would rebel against Moses and Aaron, Korah and his group. And God said, "Okay, you guys all think you know what you're doing. I want you to take your incense, which the priests were supposed to carry, and I want you to put incense therein, and I want you to burn it, and let's see whose I accept." We know the end of the story. God says, if you die a natural death, then you'll know it wasn't me. And the earth swallowed up, boom, all of them dropped dead. These men were refusing to submit to the God-given leadership. So there was strange fire. There was submissive fire. We could say a lack of submissive fire. There was what I've called a suspect fire. That is, there were people who thought they could try things differently than God again. And in 2 Chronicles, for instance, 26 and verse 19, "Then Uzzah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar." In other words, Uzziah, thought that he could do the priest's job. And God said, absolutely not. And by the way, some godly priest stood up and said, "No, sir, you're not." He got mad at them and decided, "I'm the king. I can do what I want." And God said, "No, you can't." If you continue that story as well, the Bible says that he died a leper. He never was restored to his kingdom because he refused to repent. I love what one author said, "Even royalty must bow in abasement before Jehovah." Can't define. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 11, "And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up." Again, if you continue that story, God's point is, just because they're leaders in Israel, and just because they're going through the motions of religious worship, they're not who they claim to be. And God actually takes Ezekiel through a process of events, showing them inner chambers of where men were worshiping the sun god and all these things, though they were keeping up their facade of being godly people. Suspect fire. Are your prayers pure before the Lord? You know, we could talk about some modern examples of wrong fire, if you will, wrong prayer, and how people pray. But again, we don't have a lot of time to do that. We see number five, the priest of the offering. The priest of the offering. We've looked at the problems of the offering. Number four, the priest of the offering. The priest did this daily, twice a day, morning and evening. And the morning and evening sacrifice, when they had to do with the lampstand, it says here that Aaron was to do it. Many times in the Word of God, when he uses the word Aaron, it's referring to the entire priesthood. So it didn't mean that Aaron himself had to do this every day, but a priest had to do this every day. And then yearly on the Day of Atonement, and this would have been Aaron's job. Again, he would kill the altar at the brazen altar, the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. On his way to the Holy of Holies, he would stop at the altar of incense, anoint the horns of that altar. By the way, he anointed the horns of the altar of the brazen altar as well. Then he would enter into the most holy place. We have a great high priest who did that for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and following says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, the writer of Hebrews is connecting that very Jewish ceremony with what the people would understand. They understood what it meant for them to go to the altar of incense and offer there, and to go into the most holy place and offer there on the Ark of the Covenant. They understood all that, but they knew that they didn't have the privilege of doing that. And the author of Hebrews is saying, you have a great high priest who has not only provided a way for you to do that, but he's there at the mercy seat, and he's interceding for you. What wonderful truth that is. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you take advantage of Jesus interceding for you in the throne room of grace? Do you take advantage of that? Incredible privilege of Jesus himself interceding for us. What precious truth. Just quickly, number 6, the protection for the offering. In Numbers chapter 4 and verse 11 it says, and upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with a covering of badger skins and shall put to the staves thereof. Again, the children of Israel could not see the altar of incense. It was to be covered before it was to be carried. But we have access to these daily prayers and the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus. We can't let this incredible privilege and joy pass us without taking advantage of it. You know, it's pretty audacious for us to have this privilege and to scoff it off. To be able to come to the throne room because of the blood of Jesus Christ and to not take advantage of it. That'd be kind of crazy. If you had a need that you desperately were begging God for, and God had provided everything you needed for that, all you had to do was walk in and claim it, and you refused to do that, people would look at you like you were crazy. If someone said, hey, you have an unlimited bank account, whatever you need, don't worry about it, just come tell me, it's yours. You're like, well, oh man, I could really use a loaf of bread. You'd be like, well, go ask him. I don't want to bother him. He's too busy running the universe. Sometimes we think that way. That's too small for God. But he wants us to come to him. That's why he provided the way. Spend time with God this week. He wants us to do it, longs for us to do it, and has provided us a way to be able to do it. That's what the altar of incense says for us. And we, by faith, look into, if you will, quote unquote, the Holy of Holies, where that mercy seat is there. Though we can't see that throne room of grace, it's there because God said it's there, and we by faith go there to find grace to help in time of need. Father, thank you for this altar of incense and the truths that we can learn from it. Everything in this tabernacle pointed to you, and we're grateful that even this points to our great intercessor, who allows us to come to the throne room of grace. We love you, Lord, and thank you for providing this for us and giving us the Word of God to study it. In your precious name we pray. Amen.